Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Hype number 140. Today we're going to be talking about Indie PopCon because we are live at the convention.
Ooh. It is definitely different. Like, rather than sitting in our rooms podcasting on Skype, it's like this giant lobby and anyone can hear us.
Yeah. Guys, we have like real microphones.
It's really cool.
And somebody else is taking care of recording the audio. You have no idea. We are also joined by Stripe from Gremlins.
He's lovely.
He's just chilling here. I'm going to take a picture of him later to prove that he sat with us the whole time.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. Yeah.
My name is Karen, and I am joined by Kristen, as usual.
Hello.
And today we've got a little roving band of people coming in and out. So the first person that's joining us is Lauren Jankowski, who wrote a really cool-looking book series. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Yeah. How about you?
Last day of the con. Feel a little crazy. Not going to lie. I love this convention, but by the end of it, I'm kind of pulling my hair out because we're running all over the place. But it's been good so far.
That's good.
Yeah. So if you guys would like to follow us on Twitter, we are at BookHype, and you can find us on Facebook.com/HypeableBooks and on Goodreads at HypeableBooks. We are a podcast from Hypeable.com. That's HYPABLE.com. And we have a whole bunch of different podcasts that we're representing here at Indie PopCon today, but we decided to go with BookHype because we knew a couple authors who would be able to come on, and we needed to record a Book Hype episode.
Yes, we did. Brittany is really, really excited not to have to, like, yeah, go at it alone without us this weekend. So
we're like, we're leaving. You can record one, right? You can just find somebody else who can be on. Yeah, so this takes the pressure off of her a little bit and gives us something to talk about, which is pretty awesome. Before we get into the main discussion, we're going to do what we always do, which is talk about what we've been reading lately. And you can pick as many books as you want, or one book, it doesn't matter. But I will kick it off by saying that I started The Refrigerator Monologues by Catherine M. Valente. And within the first sentence, did you read the first page of that book?
No.
I made Danielle read it, and she was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to read this book. It's all about the women who get fridged in stories.
And I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah, and so, like, they're in, not hell, but, like, they're dead. They're in the dead place. And it's all about their stories, and some of them get to come back, and it's really sarcastic, and it really, like, analyzes the tropes in fiction of women getting killed off, and it's pretty kick-ass. So, and it's got a really good voice to it, so, like, I'm really excited to get into that one. But I've only read the first 15 pages, so I'm going to have to jump into it. But it's not long. It's only like 150 pages long, so
that's not
able to speed read it. I'll read it to you on the way home.
Sounds good. We've got a four-hour road trip back home, so yeah, that'll be fun.
What about you, Kristen? What have you been reading?
Well, it's a con, so I've had no time to read, despite having a stack of ARCs that definitely need my attention. Yes. That'll be, you know, this week. But I did get a chance to start, and I mean start, I think I read like 10 pages, of Kylie Scott's new YA release, Trust, which I am in love with. I was lucky enough to get to premiere the book trailer this week on Hypeable, so if you haven't checked it out, please go do. It's awesome. And so that got me even more excited, so I was like, I have to start this. So I tried to read at the booth the other day, and I just couldn't focus.
Yeah.
I'm a people watcher, so with all of these people in really cool costumes, like, hanging around, I can't not watch. Like, I have to, yeah, I got distracted. So I'm really excited to get into that book, mm-hmm, hopefully this week, and really, like, you know, dive in.
Yeah. The cover for that is really pretty, too.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah. Lots of abs. It's basically what it is.
It's the word art and, like, how they did
that
looks really cool. Like, I mean, you know, abs are nice, but it's, you know, I like the whole cover, not just the person on the cover.
Can that be our episode title? Abs are nice.
Abs are nice, and it works.
What about you, Lauren? What are some of the best books you've read lately?
Well, my best friend and I just finished reading Unfinished Tales by Tolkien. So that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
I also have a stack of books by friends that are very angry at me because I'm the slowest reader.
It happens.
Let's see. I'm working on Joel Korna's The Sea Stone... Oh, God. The Sea Stone Sword. Try saying that.
That's
three
a
times
mouthful.
Fast.
Yes, it is.
This sounds cool, though.
Joel Corna, awesome writer. Lissa Chiavari, Fourth World. I always forget the title, and I'm like, no.
It happens.
And Emmy Jackson's The Untimely Death of Corey Sanderson, which I've been working on that for months, and it is just a phenomenal book. It's just, I'm the slowest reader. I always feel so bad because I'm like, Emmy, I love your book so much. I swear I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like that's been happening to me, too, is, like, people that I used to blog with, they're really putting out books now, and I want to read them all, but then I have the reviews I have to do for Hypeable, too, and, like, how... That was one of the questions I was asking you on the way over, like, how do you find time to read? When do you read the most? Because I find if I read at night, usually that's when I can kind of calm down and relax and ease into it, but then I fall asleep after two pages, and I'm like, well, I meant to read three chapters, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, same thing. Like at night, I find I read best in the afternoon, but I really should read more at night, but I fall asleep so fast.
Yeah, it's.
I turn on the TV at night, usually old episodes of Bones or West Wing. So reading at night kind of went by the wayside. I typically like to take an afternoon or morning, like after I've got my morning errands and like little things out of the way, curl up in my bed, read for, you know, 2 or 3 hours before I have to go to work. I work second shift. So it's like, if I can set aside a couple of hours in the morning, that usually works best for me because I've been asleep, so I'm not going to fall asleep. If I read at night, it's bad news. 3 pages and I'm done, too.
You can read at work, too, though, or listen to audiobooks at least, so...
Yes.
I mean, lucky you.
Well, you know, my job is not... My day job is not, like, thrilling work, but it, you know, it pays the bills. Yeah. So it is nice. I do get to listen to audiobooks, which I've discovered a love for because of that. Mm-hmm. It helps the day move quickly, and, yeah, so that's always good fun.
Which is why you read 200 books a year and I read 12.
Okay, I don't think I actually hit 200 last year.
I think you did. I think you did.
If you include rereads, maybe. But yes. I did not read 200 new books.
All right, fine. Okay, so we're also going... That was not our Book Bites section.
believe it or not.
But it was just a random question. But our Book Bites section this week is actually Kristen's idea. You've been knocking it out of the park lately.
What can I say?
This one is, what makes a good book recommendation? And kind of give us an idea of what you had in mind when you thought of that.
Well, like, when you're thinking of a way to get someone into a new genre or a new author, like, how... do you go about recommending a book? Like, what is it about a book that, you know, that makes it recommendable? As opposed to, like, the one that you hold off on, that you keep close to the vest until you, like, know exactly what kind of reader they are or, you know what kind of content they like. I usually tend to keep, like... When I'm recommending to you, it's different than if I'm recommending to my brother.
Right.
You know, you have to keep the person in mind. And it was just one of those things that ran through my head this morning. I was like... what makes a book, like, recommendable? Like, is there a criteria for you that you're like, I can absolutely do this? For me, I think it's more, when there are the ones that I keep close to the vest because it's like, if they don't love this, we might have problems.
That's fair.
Like, there's the safe authors where I'm like, I love this person, but it's okay if you disagree. And then there's, like, the, if you don't like this... This isn't gonna end well. So you kind of hold those back unless you know the person's going to like it. Because I have no problem recommending Cora Carmack to you or anyone else on.
I was gonna tell you to do this section without talking about Roar, but
I mean, it's impossible. I have to talk about Cora. It's like written somewhere. It's in our bylaws. So
it is.
You'll see it.
Yeah. Bylaws?
Yeah. I made them up just now. But yeah. So I have authors that are like my favorites that. Yeah. It would be rough if someone I know loves to read just didn't like them.
Right.
Like, it's like, no. So, yeah.
When I recommend books, unless I really know what the person is into, I look for crossover appeal. So those kind of, I don't think it's a bad thing to say, but the more commercial books that are a little action, a little funny, they've got a little bit of everything versus, like, here's a horror book. I don't even know if you like horror. Like, that's not always going to fly.
She's made me read horror. It did not end well.
We had a good discussion, and you know it.
It was a fantastic discussion, despite the fact that I listened to an hour of that audiobook every night at work because I couldn't do more than an hour. It terrified me.
It was kind of scary. That was Don Kurtigich's book.
Yep.
Was that The Dead House?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That was a little scary.
It's terrifying.
What about you, Lauren? When you recommend books, what do you usually go for?
I always joke with my friends that I'm way better at promoting my friends than I am myself. Because I'm like, I think my friends are the most talented people around. So whenever anybody asks for book recommendations, I have like 3-4 names just off the top of my head where mm-hmm. I'm like, I want people to read their books. And yeah, I'm always a little nervous that they won't like them. But I have the type of friends that won't leave like, you know, awful reviews.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. If they don't like a book, they just like won't comment on it. So that's good. I have to know somebody to recommend a book because mm-hmm. that way I know, like, I have such eclectic taste that there's like, I have some friends that like horror. I like horror. I have some friends that would kill me in my sleep if I recommended horror. I have my fantasy friends. I love my fantasy friends because I have so many fantasy books that I recommend constantly. I'm a huge Lloyd Alexander fan, and that's like the book where if somebody doesn't like him, then I'm kind of like, oh, it personally hurts me.
It's like the book part of our friendship has now been ended. We can still talk about this
dead.
And this. Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I was so afraid to recommend Percy Jackson to Brittany, because like,
yeah.
That book series just, I love it so much, like unapologetically. But she liked it, so then we can still be friends.
It was fine, yeah.
Well, I know you said you're bad at promoting your own book, but
that's
what we're here for.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. So Lauren wrote, I hear you're going to have to help me with some of these titles.
Okay.
Because honestly, I will admit that I don't know how to pronounce them. But basically, the reason why we wanted to ask you on is because your books are getting republished.
Yes.
Which is pretty interesting. So please just give us the elevator pitch for your series and the first book so they can kind of check it out if they want to.
I wrote the Shapeshifter Chronicles. When I was a baby writer, very new to self-publishing, and I didn't know anything about editing or anything, so they were very, very rough. But my friend Lissa co-founded this publishing collective called Snowy Wings Publishing, and she was like, hey, you want to publish with us? I'm like, yeah, I want to publish with you. F yeah. It's a series. It's about a woman named Isis who stumbles on this ancient mystery when she photographs a murder scene. And the next day, all evidence of the murder has vanished, including the body from her pictures. And Isis being who she is, she can't let this go, so she starts investigating. And in the course of her investigation, she finds out she's not human, like she always assumed. She is part shapeshifter, part guardian. Guardians are similar, they're not the same, but they're similar to gods in various mythologies, because I'm a huge myth nerd. And
you've come to the right place.
Yes. Oh, gosh. And so the series is her and 3 other strong, powerful women kicking butt, taking names, trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening, why it's happening, how they can stop it, saving the world as women do.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Sounds great, right?
I mean,
yeah.
On the back of this bookmark, the first word in this, like, section is Isis, and you already sold me, because I was like, I mean,
she's a sucker.
I don't even know what it's about, but that sounds cool. But yeah, I love the idea that, you know, she takes this picture, and then the body disappears? Like, what? So I'm definitely interested, and I didn't know there was that much influence of mythology in it, so you definitely have my attention, because that is my go-to always and forever. Yes. You self-published them originally, and then you caught somebody's attention, and now they're getting republished. So what has that process been like? Other than very exciting, obviously.
Very exciting. It's kind of funny because I'm also an activist for asexual artists, where I try to asexuals are very invisible, so I started a website called Asexual Artists to boost their voices, and I interviewed a ton of authors and a ton of visual artists and a ton of just every kind of artist you can think of, and I happened to interview Lissa, and I was really intrigued by her interview, and we kept in touch. And so when she co-founded Snowy Wings, I was working on my fifth book, and my editor, unfortunately, the person who I was going to have do the editing for that, unfortunately, personal circumstances prevented her from coming up, so I was out an editor, and I was freaking out, so I went to Lissa, and I was like, do you have any editor you can suggest? And she's like, yeah, use my editor, Rose. And Rose started reading my fifth novel, and then she was actually the one who emailed Lissa and was like, you have to sign her to Snowy Wings. This book is amazing. You have to sign her to Snowy Wings.
That's awesome.
And I was just it was incredible, because then Lissa messages me, and she's like, you wouldn't be interested in this, would you? I was like, yeah, I'd be interested.
Yeah. In yes, what please. World would I say no?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, am I going to say no? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so she was like, okay, she had read a little bit of my first book, which there's a whole story behind why it was as rough as it was. It's like an hour-long story, but she was like, one of those. She was like, so if you could get them professionally edited and you should totally contact my cover artist. She does amazing work, and you'll love her. Because I was also looking for a cover artist at the time, and I did love this artist. She was fantastic. And so, yeah, it's just been that. Originally, we were aiming for a summer release, but personal life circumstances prevented that. So now it's coming out Halloween this year.
Oh, very cool.
That seems appropriate. So
yes.
That works. Yeah, and talking about the covers and stuff, the covers of these books are gorgeous. That was the first thing that caught my eye. I mean, obviously, that's what a cover is supposed to do. But what did you have any sort of influence on the covers, or you know, did you provide feedback or anything like that, or a template to go off of initially?
I work with Nyla Kimbar, who I always mispronounce her name. It's NAJLAQAMBER or BAR, something like that, and basically, you have a brainstorming session with her where she says, what are you looking for? What do you want? What's the kind of overall atmosphere you want going on? And you send her what you're looking for, and then she'll go through stock photography or stock photos, and she'll be like, what do you think of this for this and this for that and this for that? And you pick out what's best. And this woman is one of the most talented human beings on the planet, because I'm always like, oh, she won't be able to find this or that. And then she sends me, like, pictures that are better than even I pictured. I'm like,
that's what you always hope for.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, she, like, finds, like, the perfect models. Like, she would send me a picture. I'd be like, oh, my God, that's who I was picturing when I was writing that character. What? Get out of my head.
That's what I love about the images here is, like, all of the women are looking, like, directly at the camera, and they're all in these, like, strong poses, and it's just the colors are really vivid, and it's really striking, and obviously, like, that's what you want in a mm-hmm. book cover, because you want to grab people's attention. So that's really cool that you got to work so closely with her, and you kind of, it was like a team effort rather than like, okay, here's the cover we're going to give you, and mm-hmm. I hope you like it, but if you don't, too bad.
Yep.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, too, because you did mention it recently, was asexuality representation, because we, on Hypeable, when we do our reviews and when we're looking into books that we would like to cover, I always try to keep in mind like LGBT representation, because it is getting better, but it is nowhere near what we would hope it would be. But asexuality is definitely one of those that flies under the radar a lot, and yeah. Only very recently have I even been hearing murmurs of it being in books and that sort of thing. And I kind of wanted to ask you, you know, how... It's a difficult question, because you don't want to misrepresent anybody. And of course, if you are asexual, you can pull from your own experiences. But if you're not and you want to help kind of promote that sort of thing and that tolerance, you know, it's a fine line to walk. Yep. So what kind of, what's your take on that, and how do you think is the best way to approach situations like that?
Well, I always say, like, there are some asexuals that are very rabid about allos shouldn't write us because, you know, there's already... I'm more flexible where I'm like, you know, if you want to write asexual characters, that's awesome, but be sure that you are boosting asexual voices while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Because we have a lot of people speaking for us, and nobody's really boosting our voices. And I've actually come up with a new rule on my site where I will not promote, there's this big movement called Own Voices, where it's about promoting.
We had a whole episode on this, and it was really lovely, and I didn't know anything about it when we first started talking about it, but it's such a great movement.
Yeah, it's starting to go into the asexual community, but unfortunately, a lot of the lists I see are leaving off asexual people of color. So my new rule on the site is I will not promote an Own Voices list unless it has equal coverage of people of color as well as white authors or what have you. It's very tricky because I feel like there needs to be more boosting of asexual voices, but there needs to be more boosting of the diversity of the asexual community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of aces are kind of like just accepting the bare minimum, and that's hurting a lot of people.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So, yeah, I always say make sure you're boosting ace voices, make sure you're finding ace artists, but make sure you're reflecting the diversity of the community. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so...
That's great. And what was the name of your website again?
Well, you can go on my website is laurenjankowski.com. My activist website is asexualartist.com or asexualartist.tumblr.com.
Awesome. And what about in your series itself? How does that represent?
There are two main characters who are ace. All four women are queer.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
That's awesome.
I wanted that. I was like, that is a must. It has to be queer women saving the world, because, yeah. So Isis is Gray A. I cried when I was going through editing, and I was able to write her explicitly saying she was Gray A, because when I was first writing, I was working with this terrible acephobic writing mentor who I could not use the term asexuality without setting him off, so... Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to be explicit, but now that I am, it's really liberating. So I have Isis, who's Gray A, she's on the first cover. Alex is...
And for those who don't know what that is, what...
Gray asexuality is basically, sometimes you have sexual attraction, you experience sexual attraction, sometimes you don't. That's very general. It's also kind of a spectrum on itself.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's sometimes you experience sexual attraction, sometimes... Or you have very, very low sexual attraction, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Book 4, the cover features Alex. Alex is Arrow Ace. Book 5 is Blitz. Blitz is funny. She's kind of asexual, but it's a very fluid thing. She'd probably be more Gray A now that I'm thinking about it. Sometimes she seems very more on the Arrow spectrum. She's a very interesting character, and I adore her.
So your series, is it finished?
No, there's probably going to be 8 to 10 books in it.
Nice. I love series with, like, you know, a lot of books in them, because you can just keep going back to that world if you really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Oh, and I plan to write, like, other books that take place in the same universe that aren't part of the series.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. How do you balance all of the ideas in your head? Is it get crazy? Do you write them down? Do you have a system?
My room probably looks like a serial killer's room. I just have spirals everywhere with just random notes and jottings and just ideas that come to me. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's awesome.
And my computer, my laptop is just filled with files of just random ideas.
That's cool. Well, it is about that time, and we know you have a booth to get back to. What's your booth number here at Indie?
918.
918, okay. Please, if you guys are interested, go check out her stuff. It looks really awesome. We'll be stopping by again, I promise.
Awesome.
But thank you so much for joining us here on Book Hype. We really had a great time talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, yeah.
And now, Now Jen gets to come up here.
Hello. I warn you, I'm not prepared.
Oh, that's fine.
That's okay. This is low pressure.
Yeah.
Lowest of low pressure.
There will not be a quiz at the end.
Good morning. No quizzes.
Hi. How are you doing today?
It's going okay.
That's good. Do you remember our names today?
I do remember your names today. It is Karen and Kristen.
Yay.
And not Danielle and Patricia.
Hey, you know, yesterday was rough.
Yesterday was rough.
For those of people who are listening to the podcast and not watching it, I'm one of the showrunners at IndiePopCon, so it's a bit hectic.
Yeah, she's got an official shirt and a little earbud in her ear, and she looks really cool.
Hopefully nobody calls on radio while I'm up here.
That would be interesting.
It'd be funny.
It would be funny.
Hey, keep things interesting on Book Hype.
Yeah, cool. Well, hey, since we're up here and it's all official and stuff, thanks for inviting us again.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming again.
We really love this convention.
Well, we love you.
Yay, thank you. See, so much love up here. Okay, so I know Jen from, you know, that girl that I met at the Teen Wolf convention.
We've known each other longer than that.
Longer?
Than the first BiCon, yeah.
We were talking before. When did we first meet?
I met you, I think, second season of Teen Wolf, back when Not Another Teen Wolf podcast was just getting started. Because I was doing all the coding for you guys on your Tumblr.
You were! Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that was so long ago.
It was so long ago. I was trying to remember when I met Danya, and I couldn't.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Because it was like 2007.
One of my most vivid memories of us is sitting on the floor at BiteCon. Do you remember that?
Yes, after crying.
Yeah, you were crying for some reason.
Because I met Jeff Davis.
Yes.
Yes. I was one of the many attendees that I see today from the other side.
That is an intense experience.
Yes. It was very intense for me.
It feels like, you know, full circle, definitely. But now you are J.S. Lenore.
Now I am J.S. Lenore.
Yes.
Yes.
And you wrote a book.
I did write a book.
So please, tell us about your book.
I wrote a book called Burner, which is a paranormal mystery set in Chicago. There's a certain subset of the population that can tap into the powers of the afterlife. The main character, her name's Kim Phillips. She's a homicide detective with the Chicago Police Department, and she's also one of these people who can tap into the powers of the afterlife. In her case, she exorcises ghosts. And after exorcising the ghost of a young girl, she finds herself tangled in a series of murders, and she herself becomes a target. So it's a race against time to find the killer before she herself is his final victim.
I feel like you've given this pitch before.
I have, many
times.
Didn't
that sound so smooth and wonderful?
It really did.
I've been taking acting lessons.
Have you really?
Yeah, for like 2 years.
Can I tell you? I don't know if I told you this. I watched your video for the Kickstarter, and
oh, yeah?
I was like so impressed.
We had really good production.
Oh my gosh,
like, I was really impressed
great.
With that guy.
Holy crap.
Yeah, my husband found him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And Burner is just the first of many books in the Affinity
yes,
series.
Yes, there will be 8 books
yes.
total. I'm working.
You were fluctuating, weren't you?
Yes, I finally bit the bullet and went with 8.
You're going with 8.
I'm going
All
with
right.
8.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
If I can back out of it, right? That's allowed?
No, this is official book hype. This is exclusive to Hypeable.
What happens here is law.
So what's kind of your general idea for the entire arc of the series? Like,
well, I can't say too much because mm-hmm. it's like huge spoilers, but there is an entire arc for the series, but each book will be self-contained with a case that Kim is working on.
Okay.
And it'll focus on some sort of aspect that ties into the book's affinity. So Burner was about a series of murders and then trying to exorcise ghosts. Reader is going to be about a cold case and then reading objects from that cold case to find out more.
Ooh, that's cool.
I know you've read it, so. And then obviously the rest of the affinities. Healer, speaker, shaker, seer, passenger are the others. And
passenger sounds...
I have passenger figured out already. All the books in between I'm still working on.
I mean, that's not uncommon to like know where your end point is mm-hmm. and know what that story
is
going to be.
Passenger isn't even the end point. There's the 8th
book.
Oh,
the 8th one too,
as of yet untitled.
Untitled. Ooh.
Just getting there.
I gotta,
how mysterious.
I got to figure out what I'm calling it.
So I know sometimes books like this where it takes on cases, you can read like out of order, but yours mm-hmm. is best read in order?
It would be best read in order. Right now, Burner is the only one that's out.
Right.
And you can read Burner by itself without any trouble. I see my daughter walking into the convention.
Oh.
I'm going to have to let my mother-in-law know that I'm up on stage. They might hear me, and you might hear screaming toddler.
That's exciting.
But yes, you can read Burner by itself without any issues. It does have a little bit of a cliffhanger, but it, you know, the case is resolved.
Okay, that's yeah. cool.
And hold on a second. Hi.
Her head just whipped around. She's so big now.
I know.
Oh my God.
Can you guys wait for me? I'll be down in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. She's so excited.
I know.
She looks super cute.
My daughter right now is dressed up as Twilight or Rainbow Dash.
Yeah.
Nice.
She looks awesome.
Yep.
Okay. We won't keep you from your child too much longer.
Well, and then I got to get back to my job.
Yes, that too. I wanted to ask you, though, about the Kickstarter, because that was
yeah.
a whole thing, and that was really cool watching that come out, and you got a tattoo because of it.
I did get a tattoo because of that. I did get the symbol from the cover of the book mm-hmm. tattooed. We did a live stream. It was
yes.
really awkward.
I watched some of it. I thought it was pretty cool.
I was nervous about getting the tattoo because I hadn't gotten one since I was 18. And I was nervous about being on camera and talking about my book. And so I just felt like a bundle of nerves the whole time. And then it hurt, of
yeah.
course.
Right.
Obviously.
As tattoos do.
Yes.
Yeah. And but the Kickstarter went really well. We raised over $6,000
yeah,
in
crazy.
Order to get print runs done mm-hmm. and also do advertising and other media.
Right,
so it
yeah.
was really good.
And there's like art people could get with it
yeah.
and all of that was really yeah. amazing. And
we are behind on getting the art out. But.
Yeah. I know, because I think I'm waiting
you are.
For mine.
You absolutely are.
They were commissioned by different people, right?
Yes,
yeah.
We commissioned multiple artists and I might mess up their names because two of them are from the UK and named Megan.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So we had Megan Tupper, who did the cover art and then a lot of the scene art that was printed in the book. If you go to our website, which is theaffinityseries.net, you'll see a lot of her stuff there. The interior of the warehouse, Kim's apartment,
cool.
The creepy hallway that I put on everything. And then we had Megan Bradbury, who did portraits of the characters, which are on our bookmarks, and those are also available at my booth for purchase. We had MJ Erickson, who's better known as Krugen, who did some character sketches for us,
love
as well
her.
As a scene. I do too.
Love.
Another Teen Wolf buddy.
Izzy Ray Brown, who is an animator on YouTube. She did the opening animation in the Kickstarter video. The little
okay.
things coming up
I
out
love
of the symbol.
Too.
She's amazing. She's
I love
so
how
wonderful.
All of our friends just come together to help us. And it's just so, it's such a great community.
It helps to have talented friends.
Yes, it does.
Yes. But yeah, we had a lot of people do art, and they're all credited on the website and also in the book
awesome.
With email, or not email, but URLs to their mm-hmm. websites and, you know, what they did for us and how to get in touch with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And speaking of the cover art, I love the cover on this book because it's so bright. Like, it really catches your attention. And, like, I mean, your tattoo looks awesome.
I need to get it touched up a little bit because I need it to be a little bit brighter.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah,
you know, it's...
And how... Because these are the symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, each book is going to kind of have, I assume, like, a similar mm-hmm. feel to it. So
yeah.
it'll really look like it goes together.
Yeah. So the cover is... the burner symbol on a concrete floor. So that's from like the opening scene mm-hmm. or towards the end of the book, but there's lots of like broken concrete. And so that's what it's gonna be. In book two, what I'd like to do is have it be a open case file with the reader symbol on top of like paperwork. And then I'll figure out what the rest of them are gonna be. But I wanna keep that kind of theme of having the symbol on the cover
right.
in, you know, a position where it makes sense with the plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So where can everybody find you on Twitter?
So you can find me on Twitter at P1013. I will eventually get an author Twitter. And if anybody wants to read my fan fiction,
yeah,
that is also under the same handle on Archive of Our Own, because that's how I got started, was through that.
Lots of Teen Wolf stuff.
Lots of Teen Wolf stuff.
Yep.
Also Harry Potter, which you won't be able to find. Also X-Files, which you definitely won't be able to find. Yeah, so P1013 on Twitter. And that's pretty much the best place to get in touch with me. I don't have a lot of followers right now, so feel free to DM me.
But you have important followers.
I do. I'm being followed by the Cash Cab guy.
I mean, cool. Ben Bailey, that's no slouch right there.
That's awesome.
And Chocolate Rain Dude.
Okay.
I don't know if I know that one.
Why not? Well, we're definitely going to have you on Book Hype for a little bit longer of a spiel,
yes,
when you're not running around crazy. And we'll talk about some other stuff, too.
Yeah.
What cool books have you been reading lately?
Oh, God. I just finished reading The Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay.
That whole series.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. It was really well done.
Awesome.
And then a lot of trashy romance novels.
I mean,
that's pretty much my forte. Yeah, I understand.
We need to sit down and exchange authors then, because I'm running out.
Oh, she's got suggestions.
There's great ones.
We'll make this happen.
Cool. Well, we're going to let you get to your daughter and back to the convention.
Yes.
But
I am also vending.
Oh, yes,
I have friends working a booth for me. So if you guys are interested and want to purchase a copy of Burner, you can find it at booth 205.
Awesome.
We're right next to the Scotties booth, and across from Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Awesome. That is really cool.
Very
well,
cool.
Hey, thanks for coming on to Book
Hype. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank you.
And have a good rest of the day. We'll see you tonight.
I will see you tonight.
Yes.
At least for a while.
Okay. Thanks, Jen.
Love you guys.
Bye. So that was a pretty good episode.
Yeah,
I thought we were going to run out of stuff, but the last couple of things that I wanted to talk about was just convention related, because we were talking about cosplay mostly, and the book cosplay stuff that we saw. I saw Harry Potter. He was dressed in robes. I don't know if he was like a boxing Harry Potter.
Yeah,
it
like
looked he looked really comfortable.
I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be like a boxer in the he had taken like the idea of the Quidditch robes and like given himself a whole boxing moniker, which is really cool. We also saw a Camp Half-Blood shirt yesterday, which always makes us very happy.
That was cool.
It's good times, good times. I've seen a lot of like anime, but I don't know very much about it. So.
Lots of video games as well.
Yeah, and I'm assuming some manga characters in there too, which kind of fits in the book world, but I am just so unexperienced.
I mean, comic book stuff technically works. So
I mean,
we've been seeing superheroes. Ooh, we saw that really cool Captain America Spider-Man.
Yep.
That was awesome. We might have to put that up on the Instagram if it's not there already.
And then we had Dancing Deadpool, who's everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
He's been dancing all over the con, and it makes me happy every time I see him. He's thoroughly enjoying life, and that's how it should be.
He was just chilling for so long, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, last thing is, what would be your go-to cosplay?
Oh. Well, okay. If I was going to cosplay, it probably wouldn't be book related. Like, I try to think of people that like I could legitimately look like.
Yeah.
So like a Molly Weasley would be really fun. I feel like
that
I could
would
do
be cool.
Molly Weasley or like Abby from Ghostbusters. Like that would be a really comfortable, easy, like actual cosplay. Getting like the proton pack right would be a challenge. But like other than that, like the outfit itself would be easy peasy.
Yeah.
So, but those are things that if I got to pick like my dream one at the moment, especially book related, it might be Roar.
I mean, maybe.
It just, she's such a badass. Like it would be so much fun. And with all the knives on her back and all that, it just, it would be so cool.
That's cool.
It's like, she's kind of looks a little bit like Daenerys, but it's just different enough. And with all of the extra like stuff that you learn about in the book, it would look different. It would not look like Daenerys once you got, like, the cosplay together.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, obviously I would have to go for something Percy Jackson, but I think I would want to cosplay as, like, one of the gods. I think that would be really cool.
I mean, it would be creative, too, because we get descriptions of them, but they're not always, like, this and this and this and this. So you could be creative and work their godly power into something in your costume, like in your wardrobe. Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't book related, I could probably do Dark Willow.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I've got the widow's peak for it. I did a test one time that said, what celebrity do you look like? And mine was...
Allison Hannigan.
Allison Hannigan, yeah. I lost her name for a second.
That's okay. I was like, wait. Yeah.
So that would be pretty cool. I'd be into that. I'd have to... Well, you're not there yet, so we can't talk about that. Hey, go listen to Rewatchable if you like Buffy or Angel.
Yes.
Okay, guys, funny story. The end of the audio on our Book Hype podcast live at Indie PopCon got chopped off, so we're actually recreating this at home now. Oops.
Technical difficulties are fun, and as you can tell, it happens to even the best people, because we weren't even recording that, and we didn't screw it up. So it happens. But we wanted to, say bye and let you all know how much fun we had at Indie Pop, and it really was a great time.
As a reminder, we are going to be doing Roar by Cora Carmack for our book club book by the end of the month. We've got a couple other things scheduled as well. I don't have that in front of me right now, so I can't remember what I wrote down. But that will be coming up soon. And, San Diego Comic-Con is next week, so we're going to do something there. No idea yet, but maybe we'll have a couple of fun people on. And, just keep an eye out.
So we'll be back soon before the Roar discussion. So keep reading and enjoying, hopefully. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.